around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to take the opportunity to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a joy to be with you today, this March the 20th, Tuesday. I believe the day is Tuesday. My time flies by so quickly. As I get older, it's unbelievable how quickly, how swiftly, how fastly that time does pass by. We have several announcements today. I want to remind you, Sunday, April the 15th, we'll be at Prosperity Church of God. That is 311 North Main Street, Prosperity, South Carolina, 29127. Again, Sunday morning, April the 15th, 2018, Prosperity Church of God, 311 North Main Street, Prosperity, South Carolina, 29127. They've asked me to come and to share the significance of Israel regarding Christianity, because there is an unbelievable amount of hostilities and animosity and hatred toward the nation of Israel. And the reason Christians are falling into that snare, are falling into that trap, is because they do not know their Bible. They do not understand the promises of God. Nevertheless, God's covenant is eternal with His people, Israel. Also, many have already asked me about the television taping with Irvin Baxter, End Time, and it'll be on TBN. Unless something changes, if it stays the same, it'll be aired on TBN April the 13th and April the 20th at 9:30 p.m. On those two dates. April the 13th, April the 20th on TBN at 9:30 p.m. Daystar, it will be aired April the 15th, April the 22nd, April 22nd at 11:30. So that's Daystar, April the 15th and April the 22nd at 11:30 p.m. And TBN will be at April the 13th and April the 20th at 9:30 p.m. I think you'll enjoy Brother Baxter, a great, great man of God. Loves the Lord. I love the man. There's something unique about his spirit. He is so poised and carries a spirit of humility. And yes, he is United Pentecostal Church, and they believe in Jesus only doctrine. I've learned to quit splitting hairs and fighting people over something that simplistic. You say, Pastor, why would you say that? Are you compromising? Absolutely not. I will never compromise at the expense of sin. But here's the problem, and it's a problem that every one of us have, whether we are willing to admit it or not. We are finite human beings. We're trying to define an infinite God. That is more challenging than me to stand at a blackboard with a piece of chalk and try to explain to you how to split an atom, the neutron, the electron, the proton, how to split it into fission, however you want to pronounce it, and have an atomic explosion. I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. Sometimes we fight over things that aren't important. I know what the Bible says. And there's a great scripture that if you want to be controversial and trying to get into arguments about is it one God or one God manifest in three persons or whatever, Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, you theologians out there that are smarter than me, think of what Paul said. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. God is so vast, so great, so august, we don't have the ability to describe the deity of Christ. But I will say one thing, and it's impacted my life, what limited relationship I've had with them. They've showed me tremendous amount of love. I cannot say that about the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. They sought to take my credentials, throw me, my family, my wife out in the street, and no one over 17 years has sought to reconcile with me. I still have my friends in the Church of God, but they still distance themselves from me. I'm not in this thing for any other reason but to win souls to Jesus Christ. And whatever door God opens for me to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach uncompromisingly. I'm going to preach against sin. I'm going to preach the Word of God. If I couldn't quote Bible scriptures, I would have nothing to say. I would have nothing fundamentally to preach. My message is the Word of the Lord. And it's important that we understand that. Someone emailed me today and asked me, were all UPC churches Jesus only, non-Trinitarian? As far as I know, yes, but I don't know them. But I have been invited to their general conference in St. Louis this September. I'm going. I'm going to meet them. I'm going to sit with them. I'm going to listen to them. You see, we have the same situation in Acts chapter 15. There was a disputation. The Mosaic law and circumcision, and the Pharisees were telling the Gentiles, you've got to be circumcised to be saved. And Peter stood up and said, no, we couldn't keep the law, nor our forefathers. Why tempt ye God to put this yoke around their necks? So it grieves my spirit that when we can agree on 85, 90, 95% of the scriptures, and then there's one little hiccup that we don't understand. We don't understand. Then we get mad, we blow up, we blow out, we divide ourselves. Can I tell you, Jesus, his body is one church. The body of Christ is one. Regretfully, denominations have brought this division into all of our lives. And so one says, well, I'm of Apollos. Another says, I'm of Cephas. Another says, I'm of Paul. And Paul's response was, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? No, you cannot divide the body of Christ. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, even the Corinthians were grappling with certain doctrine. Before we get back into our series, and I pray the series is blessing you mightily, entitled No Condemnation and Why, I want to play a song I believe that will speak to many of you today that are hurting. You're broken, you're downtrodden, and you're downcast. The song is entitled, Never Too Broken to Belong.
You're never too broken to believe. too wounded, never too far gone. Here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And grace that's greater than the darkest of sin. Taste and see, take his hand, and let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. Never too wounded and never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too
Certainly, every one of us can find a place in the body of Christ. Never, never too broken to belong. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, it's my heart's desire, it's my prayer that you are receiving understanding regarding the deep things of God here in Romans chapter 8. I want to pick up the last portion in verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Fleshly, carnally minded people can never please God. Why? Because the carnal mind simply means you are in perpetual hostilities toward God. Now, some of you may be thinking and saying, I don't mean to be that way. You are that way because you allow your mind to be carnally or to be carnal. You allow your mind to dwell on things that it should not be dwelling on. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever you think about, whether it's pride or arrogancy or anything of that nature, as you think, so are you. You need to learn to think different. You need to think about the things of God. So many people today allow their minds to drift, to waft, and to wane when it comes to spiritual things. I want my mind to be on the things of God. See? Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think. If you think about pornography, you think about adultery, you think about fornication, you think about drugs, you think about alcohol, you think about getting high. You see, the longer you serve God, the less your mind will dwell on those things, providing you seek to live in the Spirit. I've been married to my wife over 37 years. I love my wife. Like any other marriage, we've seen times of pain, suffering. We've suffered loss. We're still estranged from our 31-year-old daughter to this day. Been over 13 years. Have I give up? No. I keep praying. I keep pressing. I never give up. But I'm not going to dwell on the things that discourage me, beleaguer me, bind me, hold me hostage. I want to be free from those things because they are carnal. And to be carnally minded, Paul said, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, so many people don't have life, and they certainly don't have any peace. Their minds are not stayed on the things of God. Where is your mind? Where is your thought? You've got to start thinking on virtuous, holy, godly, and righteous things. How do I do that? Immerse yourself in the Holy Scriptures. Immerse yourself in the things of God. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You got to think on the right things. You can't think and dwell in the past. You cannot think and dwell on that injury, that hurt. Some of you listening to me have had a failed marriage. It's not the unpardonable sin. The only unpardonable sin is blasphemy. I get beat up when I say that from people who had a spouse to walk off and leave them. The woman at the well, she had five husbands. Jesus said, the man you're living with now is not your husband. There are those who got married while they were sinners. They divorced in sin. They remarried in sin. They gave their hearts to God. How are they going to go back and unscramble that mess? They can't. But God forgives. Now that you're in the light, now that you're walking with God, the only grounds for divorce would be adultery or some kind of perverted sexual sin, or whether it's child molestation, sodomy, homosexuality. Actually, the Greek word for fornication covers every sexual sin. But God is a God of forgiveness. David was a murderer. David committed adultery. But God showed him mercy. Had he repented of his own will and volition, he would have never suffered the arduous, terrible, heinous situations in his life. But he didn't repent. He had to be indicted. Nathan had to go and indict the man of God. Yet the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. I was reading that again yesterday in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, how that David was a man after God's heart. God is a God of mercy. And you know, some of us have gone through things that are so ugly, so heinous, just ugly things, just terrible things. But God showed us mercy. God showed us grace. God showed us forgiveness. See, there were times that God should have cut some of us off. He should have cut some of us off, but he didn't. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, I was reading this yesterday, Acts 13:21-22, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Do you think committing adultery and murder was the will of God? Absolutely not. What God is showing us is the humanity in each of us. The humanity in each of us. This is why we strive to not live in the flesh. When you live in the flesh, all you're going to have is rubbish, refuse, garbage, all sorts of collateral damage, wreckage. That's all you're going to have in your life. If you think you can live in sin and come forth unscathed while living in sin, you're fooling yourself, friend. I said you're fooling yourself. Sin is damning. It is damaging. It is relentless. It is ruthless. It is untiring in its attack against your and my life. Sin does not let up. Sin will slam you. Sin will damn you. Sin will eviscerate you. Sin will tear you apart and leave you on the side of the road, thrown on the heap trash, the heap pile of trash of life, and let you sit there and stink and rot. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, comes by and takes us out of that horrible pit and that miry clay and puts our feet on a solid rock. That's why we are what we are. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. You are today what you are by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. God's grace, Paul said, in my life is not in vain. Don't ever let God's grace be in vain in your life. Some of you listening to me today, you have a problem. Your problem is yourself and your unwillingness to change. You don't want to change. And you always have an excuse. You always have a reason. You always want to blame somebody else. Some of you listening today, you want to blame your mom and your daddy, and they're godly people, but you want to blame them. I told you the story how my wife and I were at an intersection some time ago, and there was a girl there, mid-20s. I mean, she looked like she was to deliver her child any moment. My wife rolled the window down. I said, give her a piece of money. We gave her a piece of money. My wife said, do you know Jesus? She said, yes. We said, are you married? No. What about your dad? Oh, he and I don't get along. He won't forgive. She said she loved Jesus. She's not married, but she's about to deliver a child. So is she divorced? Is she fornicating? What's her deal? Now, I'm not lambasting her. I'm just telling you, sometimes some people do not want to take responsibility for their own actions. They do not want to take responsibility for the mess they've got themselves in. And let me say this. The longer you stay in the mess, the worse the mess gets. You got to get out. I said, you got to get out. You got to be like the prodigal son. You got to get out of the hog pen. You got to quit wallowing in the mire. You got to get out. You got to stay out. And when you get out, you have to pray. You have to read your Bible. You have to fast. You have to discipline your life. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to nail your flesh to the cross and deny yourself. Some of you can't deny yourself one thing. You can't deny yourself one thing. Wesley, my oldest son, when he was growing up, it was, Daddy, I won't. Daddy, I won't. I said, I should have not named you Wesley. I should have named you I won't Lankford. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. From the time a child is born until a man dies, his hands are always grasping. But just as soon as he dies, the hands are no longer grasping. Some of you, you want to blame the devil. You want to blame your mama. You want to blame your daddy. You want to blame your husband. You want to blame your wife. Hillary Clinton wants to blame everybody but herself. These people are duped and they're totally and completely and wholly deceived, not taking responsibility for their own actions. When are people going to wake up and say, it's my fault? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. How many times has the Holy Ghost told you, don't you do that? Don't you go there. Don't you look there. The Holy Ghost told David when he was on the balcony looking at Bathsheba. The Holy Ghost said to David, get off this balcony now. Quit looking at that woman. Get back in your house. Get away from this scene. Oh, no. No, he kept looking. Being a king, being of great authority, he said, go get that woman for me. And he brought her in. Committed adultery. She conceived. You've heard me tell the story how Ahithophel, one of David's great counselors and advisors, then got bitter and angry because he had a son named Elam. And Bathsheba was Elam's daughter, which made Ahithophel Bathsheba's granddad. And that's why he gave Absalom bad advice to take David's concubines on the same roof and commit sexual fornication with those women on the roof. But Ahithophel was full of bitterness and unforgiveness, and hatred, and malice. But when he raised his hand against God's anointed, the Bible said he went home, he got his house in order, and he hanged himself. He hanged himself. He disgraced himself. Let me tell you something. Some of you listening to me, you don't think you would ever, ever come to that state of mind where you might contemplate suicide. Don't think the devil won't take you down that ungodly, that unrighteous, that wicked path. Satan will take you down that path, sir. Ma'am, he'll take you down that path. Because he takes sin and he warps your life. Paul said, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, I know this kind of preaching is not popular. This is why preachers don't ask me to come to their churches and preach. Because they say, you're preaching condemnation. No, I'm preaching against sin. I'm preaching against wickedness. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I'm telling you like it is. I'm telling you the truth. I know. I was there. I've been there. I've done that. I've crashed. I have burned. It's a reality. It is an absolute reality. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That tells me we can please God. God can be happy with us if we're living right. And as we're living right, God bestows greater blessings. God bestows greater blessings. God opens doors. God gives us favor with people. God gives us promotion in the world, a better job, a pay increase. God can give you those things. When you're pleasing to God, He wants to bless you. And as He witnesses your faithfulness, He can trust you with more things. He can trust you with more things. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It is of the greatest importance that the Spirit of God lives and dwells and abides in you. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You've got to abide in the Word of God, and the Word of God must abide in you. And you just can't be one of those Sunday Christians. I had some lady bash me. I mean, sent me probably a half a dozen emails because I said some people worship God on Saturday, some people worship God on Sunday. She said I was teaching paganism. I wasn't teaching anything. I was making a statement. Islam and Jewish people worship on Saturday. Christians worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. But I wasn't teaching that Sunday is the Sabbath. I'm not that stupid. People, this is the carnally minded set, the carnally minded mindset of people. See? They don't get it. They're always looking for a point of contention. See? 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. What day? First day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. What's the Sabbath? Saturday. But see, I'm not under the law. See, that's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When Christ finished the work on the cross, he fulfilled everything the law demanded. Everything that we do, my friend, now is by faith and grace. In the Romans 4 and 13, Paul said, for the promise that he should be the heir, Abraham, of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, and to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I'm not going to get off on the covenant. You must have the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then you are not born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. He told Nicodemus, marvel not that I said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, notice his carnally minded. Notice at his carnally minded state, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Then in verse 7, John 3:7, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. This is spiritual. Paul is advocating to the church at Rome, you've got to live and walk in the Holy Ghost. You've got to get out of the flesh. You've got to get out of the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. What does the word dwell there in the Greek mean? It means to inhabit, to cohabit. Your spirit and our Lord's spirit cohabitate together in your clay jar, in your earthen vessel. You've heard me quote this passage hundreds of times, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellent power is the power of Christ. It is not your power, it's His power. But we can allow the power, the Spirit of God, to dwell in these clay jars, these earthen vessels. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Paul said, he is none of His, or has no part of Christ. You see, that was the great contention at the Last Supper. Jesus told Peter, you don't let me wash your feet, pal, you will have no part in me. Let's look at that quickly. John 13, verse 4 through 10. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't understand what this is all about now, but you'll get it later on. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He's talking about the heart now. David said in Psalms 119, verse 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then he says in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. The word of God is like water. It will wash the sins away. And therefore, he says in verse 27, Ephesians 5 and 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Let me go back and quote the two together. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is the word of God that makes the child of God holy and without blemish. H-O-L-Y, holy. The word of God will sanctify you holy. As a matter of fact, when Christ returns, that was exactly how Paul wanted the people to present themselves to Christ and live such a godly and such a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy. Now that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, the entirety. Why? Because he went on and said, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those of you out there who believe you can sin in your flesh and your spirit still be all right, you're deceiving yourself. This verse says, sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray God your whole, W-H-O-L-E, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless. Why the body blameless? Because the spirit has to give consent for the body to commit the deed or the act of sin. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You see, God says, if you let my word abide in you, my word will keep you clean. I'm not bragging here. God forbid I would ever be self-aggrandizing or self-serving. But many people, Steve Quayle reminds me all the time. He said, you're not like everyone else. Your integrity is so superior to those around us. And it hit me one day. Why is my standard so high? I got an email from Doug Hagman the other day. And I won't divulge the content of the email, but he said, you've had such an impact on my life. You have caused my integrity to be raised to such a level. I've had to make some decisions that may be indirectly hurtful to me personally, but my integrity will not allow me to do any less than the right thing. Now, it's not me that caused him to look that way or to feel that way. It's the word of God that is in me. And it dawned on me, the more of God's word that is in you, the higher your standard of integrity will be. Everything around me is measured, is compared to the word of God in my life. That is my point of reference. That's my point of reference. I serve on a board of directors. The lady that's the president, I'm the vice president. She said, what is your point of reference? I said, the word of God. And we were rewriting the bylaws. And they had as many as 12 to 15 board members. And I said, 7 sounds like a good number to me. And of course, the question was, why? I said, because the Bible said in Acts chapter 6, choose you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith and wisdom to administrate the affairs of the church. And guess how the board voted? 7 board of directors. It's the word of God is always my reference point. I don't care what you're talking about. It doesn't matter to me. The word of God is my point of reference. That's what I look to. That's what I lean on. That's how I come up with some of my methods and my ways of doing things. Why? It's based on the scriptures. It's based on the scriptures. This is why the word of God is so important. You must have the Spirit of Christ in you. Because if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, Paul said, you're none of his. That's why you cannot have redemption. You cannot have salvation your way, on your terms. It's impossible. It must be solely on God's terms, which is by the Word of God, period. That's the reference point. Now, theologically, every one of us have different viewpoints about certain things. Now, I said earlier in this program, I am not going to compromise when it comes to sin. You can get mad at me, cut me off, turn me off, whatever. I've lost listeners. I've lost supporters. Because I'm not going to compromise on sin. I will study. I've changed my theology, if you want to use that term, throughout the years on many subjects. Why? Because I have grown, I have matured, and I've come to understand some things. And because I understand some things, I know to make that change is the proper thing to do. Just like the pre-tribulation. I knew reading my Bible as a young preacher, I just couldn't make it reconcile. And I was told, leave it alone. Don't go there. Well, I finally matured as a man, and I was 39 years old, and I said, you know, I'm going to find out the truth about this, whether you like it or not. Of course, it caused a rift in the denomination. It caused consternation because they took it personally. They took what God showed me personally and said, you're wrong, we're all right, and you're out of here. Well, God never suffered them to get my license, my ordination. Me and God turned them in on our terms. You're not going to outdo God. Romans 8:31, Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So I've gone on. I've been out of the Church of God denomination 17 years now. 17 years, almost two decades. Two. Am I going back? No, sir. The greatest of these is love. Love. You see, people can tell you all day long they love you. We had a man get upset with us the other day. He emailed, wanted a free book. We've bought so many plane tickets. We've paid rent. We've done so much through the years for people, giving away only God knows how much material. And so we asked the question, if you can't afford the book, how do you afford internet? Uh-oh, man got mad. Keep your stinking book. What he didn't know was the book was already in the mail. We couldn't even get it back. We done mailed it. But you see, that's carnally minded. You see, people will tell you all day long, oh, I love the Lord. I love Jesus with all my heart. I love my neighbors. I love myself. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9 says, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Thankfully, the man emailed back and apologized because he was wrong. You see, You if you're not careful, you've heard me preach this, react instead of responding. When you are reacting, you're living in the flesh. You want my book? You want my material for nothing? But I can't ask a question? People. This is why Romans chapter 8 is so significant. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is supposed to be dead because of sin. If you don't keep your body dead, sin will have authority in your life. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, let me quote that again. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Are you listening to me today? Are you crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our body, Paul says here in verse 10, is to be dead to sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The righteousness of God gives me life. The Spirit, or the presence of God in one's life, demands righteousness, or simply doing the right thing. Righteousness is demanded because it will stand the judgment of God. Everything else will fail when it comes to God's judgment. When God adjudicates, when God judges all men, when he looks at you, when he sees the righteousness of God in you, then you will be able to stand the test or the judgment. You will be able to stand the test. You will be able to stand the judgment. You will be able to endure. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. Let me share that with you because I want you to notice this is what we call the Bema seat. This is the believer seat. I said 9 and 10. It's 2 Corinthians 5, yes, verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat, or the Bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, the Christian is still going to be judged according to the things they have done, even though they're a Christian, even though they have inherited eternal life, they're in the kingdom, we're still going to be judged so that God will be able to reward us correctly. Revelation 22, 12 says, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. Works do not save you. Works are a manifestation that you are saved. But God is going to judge us according to our works. And you want your works to be righteous, not unrighteous, not wicked, not vile, not sinful. Let me quote it again, Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. How are you working? Are you working for the Lord? Or are you? Is your life portrait of the works of the flesh? Is your life a portrait of the works of the flesh? Or is your life a portrait of the fruit of his Spirit, because his Spirit lives and abides within you? You see, when you stand before God, righteousness is demanded. Why? Because righteousness can withstand the judgment of God. Everything else will fail when it comes to the judgment of God. Everything else will fail. Everything else will burn. Everything else will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 3 and 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, Paul, a thorough definition about how men obviously can build a foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Gold, silver, precious stone, that will endure. Wood, hay, stubble, poof. I mean, hay, chaff will burn so quickly, there's nothing to it. Gold. The more gold is burned and heated, the more the impurities come out. That's why when you get a gold coin, they'll say 0.999% gold. It's almost 100% pure. Sometimes God puts us in the crucible. He lets us be burned. He lets us be tried. What's he doing? getting the impurities out because we've gotten in the flesh. We got to learn to get out of the flesh and live and walk in the Spirit. That's what we've got to learn to do. See? So many people need to understand that. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? If he's your Savior, he will deliver you in the day of trouble. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says, Behold, I have refined thee. Think of that. I've refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God has allowed some of you to have to go into the furnace of affliction. David said in Psalms 119, verse 71, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I certainly hope and pray that you're getting something from this series. I feel like we're helping some people. I love the Word of God. I love to teach. I love to preach. I love to expound the Word of God. Let me remind you again the dates. Sunday, April the 15th, Prosperity Church of God, Prosperity, South Carolina. That would be 311 North Main Street. The zip code is 29127. Hopefully we'll have that banner up on our website. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. Have a great week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
With David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.